Hello everyone and welcome back to our podcast. Growing a business is never easy and many SMEs struggle to scale effectively. One strategy that has helped business to expand quickly is franchising. But is the right choice for every SMEs? What are the risks and what are the rewards? That's exactly what we will be discussing today with our special guest. We'll break down what franchising really means, when it makes sense, and how to ensure quality across multiple locations. All with real insights from someone who has been through the process. So let's get started. I'm excited to introduce today's guest, Johnny Heinemann, a Danish entrepreneur and business mentor with extensive experience in high growth companies and franchising. Johnny is the founder of the high growth SaaS company AG Analytics AS that was recently acquired by the Swedish private equity fund Montero for a double-digit million euro amount. Beyond his own entrepreneurial success, Johnny is an active investor in SMEs with high growth potential and serves on multiple boards. For the past 20 years, he has also been a volunteer mentor with Early One in Denmark, helping over 15 Danish SMEs navigate business challenges, including turnaround and closure. Johnny, welcome to the podcast. It's great to have you here.
Thank you very much, Gabriella.
So let's start with the basics. What is franchising and when does it make sense for an SME to consider this model?
Well, franchising is actually a growth model. Franchising is a demanding discipline because it requires that, first of all, you need a concept of business that is proven, that is successful, that is also possible to copy and do again and again and again. One of the most known franchise corporations is, of course, McDonald's. Their history is quite unique, starting with just one outlet in the 50s, I guess it was, and today they are everywhere on the planet. And the concept of franchising requires that not only that you have like a strong concept, but also the ability to not only conceptualize it in material and educate other people in using it, but also controlling that the brand is well cared for and that the instructions are followed. But it's just a part of it. As a franchise taker, one will also expect, especially if it's a new franchise, that there's a development ongoing that can meet competitors in the marketplace, which means that the development of new products, of new ways of doing things, etc., is a constant, and this is requires some sort of organization, but also capital from the franchise giver's point of view. So actually, I will say that building a franchise can be quite a complex thing. On the positive side, the advantages, if you succeed, can be very rewarding. When the concept is proven, that is, you have done it in your own territory, you have found the key to success, and you have also tested it, you have copied it, you had made maybe once, twice, three, four, five similar businesses based on the same concept, and they're also successful, then it will be much easier to make the next hundreds or the next 200s. But the first four to five in each market can be quite challenging.
Now seeing this in my mind is something like making your business a franchising is expansion of your business, yes, but you can go to markets that you don't know. So being in the markets that you don't know, in countries with different rules and different regulations, You can have present in there, but with this kind of model of business model.
Yes, and that's another benefit that the local representation by the franchise taker can make it possible actually to create a successful entrance or penetration of a market. What else might else not be possible because you need to know how things work. Locally, nationally, and so on. And if you're aiming to expand globally with something, you're lost if you try to understand every rule in every country before you take action on it. So, in order to move fast, it's you. I mean, it's very essential to recruit the right people or make the right assessment of the franchise taker, because it's crucial for the success of building a franchise.
I must say that many entrepreneurs are attracted to franchising, but as you said, it's not without challenges. So I want to ask you, what are the key advantages and risks that business owners should be aware of when they are going to make a franchise?
The first thing is to sort of make a standard of your business model. Ensure that all the key processes are documented and teachable. That's important. Then sort of a package should be created, including the legal agreements, the manuals, the support structures, etc. And but first and foremost, the concept must be tested also in a local market. It might work in Denmark, but it might not work in Romania. I mean, it might work in Romania if you have someone understanding the local market, the local way of recruiting people, working with people, handling customers, the legal stuff, and so on. But the way it works and the environment, and that's all part of the brand building, to say that, okay, I go into this, let's say a coffee shop, and I recognize it from another country, so I will expect that they will serve the coffee I like. And that I will have some service, and that the price will be in this range. Building the brand is making some expectations. It's creating expectations and then delivering on it, which means that if you are like a high-end quality brand, you cannot maintain a business if you do not ensure the quality in all your franchises around the globe. So that's where the element of control comes in. Often it's about a learning curve, of course. You need good materials, but people need to understand them and they need to implement them. And as a franchise giver, you need to make sure that this all is happening in real life and not only in theory.
On paper,
But
yes.
there are ways around that. One is, of course, to follow the figures, how is it developing, and also the customer satisfaction in the place. And it happens, especially I would say with new businesses, that there will be a testing period where you try something, you fail, you modify, and you try again, and then it works. And there will be sort of like local adaptations also, or very often.
Let's say that an SME decides that franchising is the right path for his business. You said about some first essential steps to develop a successful franchise model, but there are something else in there. You have to have a team specialized on this, or how is the good behavior in front of a franchise?
Well, I think the value proposition is very important, that but that goes for all businesses, that if you consider buying a franchise and taking a successful concept, there'll be some market requirements. If you like want to open a McDonald's, you might want to do it in a place where there are not 20 McDonald's already. So there need to be, but there might be a competitor there, and maybe more competitors, which actually makes you more attractive because you have a strong brand to offer. But for the SMEs trying to build a business and then trying to grow it through franchising, that's a challenge because you really need to know what you're doing, and which means actually you need to be successful in your home market. You need to know exactly what is unique about my value proposition. What do I offer that my competitors don't, and why would this work in other markets as well? And there need to be like a really, really good understanding of what are my customers. Who are my customers, and what are they trying to do when they buy my product? What job are they trying to fulfill by entering into my business? And you need to help them fulfill that in a better way than your competitors. So the understanding of the customer journey or the customer what the customer is trying to achieve can be very helpful in like finding out, do I have something unique, or is my idea actually redundant? Is the need already fulfilled big time by others who actually are stronger than I am? Which actually, what I'm trying to say is, if you're a small company, you have the advantage of being agile, and you can move fast, you can change fast, you can learn fast. Very often, you need to find the concept that works, that actually is profitable, which also means constant analysis of what products I sell are profitable, which are not. How can I optimize in my processes to make a better profit, to make a better product, to make higher customer loyalty? And this is like an ongoing battle because the competitors, you must assume, is doing the same thing to expand and to do well in their business. But for a small business, there are options in looking at niche markets. If you can like identify areas of problems for customers that are not taken care of in a good way, the niche markets, which is actually well, it's a great opportunity for many smaller entrepreneurs because through the internet and the globalization, it's easily accessible to do research, also with the AI available, to do research in markets, to make comparisons, to like identify small niche markets, and then after doing that, try to develop some solutions to help fix this problem or help the customer to achieve their goal in a better way than it's being done already. And that might be a way to look at it. But traditionally, a franchise will be looked at as something quite physical. It's been so in the old days. It's a shop with a very clear brand and a very clear value proposition. You know what you can expect, and they will deliver what you expect. That's the core of it. For the franchise taker, the risk is lower by buying into a success, by being a part of a strong, already established network where you can have help in recruiting, you can have help in legal stuff, you can have access to IT and platforms that makes everything low risk. And in retail, you see also supermarket change who benefit a lot from the development in IT and the sharing of data and the optimizing and managing by data in regard to pricing and selling and what works, what's not working, what's working in this market, not in that market, et cetera, et cetera. But as I started out saying, it's a growth model, which actually means you need to have something to grow before you can build a franchise model. And this have to be absolutely tested and proven and be sustainable and profitable and a good business, which often also means it needs to cover something in the market that is not covered by a million others already. So finding these niche opportunities is would be my advice.
I really like that you said about value proposition because that is the key for building a franchise. When you have a good value proposition, strong with good information, it's easy from there to build. So I believe what you said that in the franchise concept, the value proposition is the heart of the concept, in from my opinion. I want to tell you something. One of the biggest concerns when franchising is maintaining consistency. So, how can a business owner ensure quality and brand identity while giving up some control about the franchise?
Yeah, that's the big question. Of course, when there's when there's distance, which will be the case in franchise organization between the headquarters and the franchisee, there'll be a gap in culture, a gap in priorities, and that's why it's essential for the franchise giver to make very clear what is expected and do a thorough assessment of the franchise taker in order to avoid a brand being damaged or a bad business local bad business experience. Because it's essential that moving forward with copying a successful concept that you really know what you're doing and also if something is not working, well, just be ready to take the consequence and close it. It might be part of, especially in the beginning, until you like find the formula that works for you. And I mean, there are good examples of franchise companies who, well, they also have different sorts of ownerships, by the way, so that often you see that the franchise giver might purchase the buildings that the activity is going to operate from in order to actually be more able to change the management or change the franchise taker if it's not meeting their expectations in different ways. But that, of course, requires some capital. That's why it's very often it's a matter of scaling. Like you start small, you find a formula that works, and you identify the critical parts and you find solutions to that. You document the processes and the you get ahead of all the legal stuff and so on, so you actually own it instead of like you build a lot and then you don't I mean if there's essential things in the concept that is not yours and you do not own but actually might lend from someone else or integrate someone else's stuff, that might be a challenge later on. So the legal part is quite essential in building the value, because if you can manage to like scale a company to like 10, 20, 25 units around different markets, and they're profitable, and you have like found the formula, then it's very attractive for like an equity fund to invest and actually say, okay, here you have 50 million euros. Now we scale it to the rest of the world. But I mean, that's a dream scenario. That and there's some branches that are like, in my opinion, very well covered already in with this growth formula. And that might be like in fast food, in coffee, but also in things like service, where you have different service concepts that are run in the same way with the same similar structure. So.
You spoke about expectation for the franchise, and in my mind, I was thinking, because we come from the early warning Europe mentality,
Yes.
if it is
Yes.
possible also to offer in the concept of the franchise a mentoring program for the franchise to learn exactly how to build that business from the structure that he buy. It is
Yes.
possible to integrate this in a concept.
Well, I suppose so, but actually, I think it's the franchise is can be a good model for growth, but the more detailed you are in preparing your penetration of market, the better off you will be later on. So there can be like quite fatale. I mean, what's it called? Like well, if you make an error that is so important that it will kill your business. For instance, in running the processes, if like with you and in your environment it works, but when you take it outside of your environment and try to teach someone else, it's a disaster. Then you're not done with testing and preparing your concept and so on. So this error could be like devastating. It could kill the business, and so also in the legal stuff where it gets like a bit of expensive to get it covered the right way, but also for some entrepreneurs a bit boring to spend time on that on stuff like that. But it's just necessary if you want to preserve the value and keep it instead of like losing it along the way because others are changing your way of operating. The franchisee is like inventing their own processes, their own tools, because what you delivered does not work accordingly to what they expected or so. And they might, and that we have seen that also, they might break out and do a copy concept of what you actually encouraged them to start. And then comes all the legal fight afterwards with them, which can also be devastating and like finish your business before it's really start taking off. So this getting the Document right, the legal stuff, the processes, the concept, the product, the case proven, not only once but twice and more times. It's very important. But the way it can actually accelerate is because if you do well with the first, let's say, five franchise units, then it's much much easier to make the next 100 or 200, because you get like an organization that is geared for this growth model. You know exactly which franchise takers to take aboard and which to avoid. You know exactly how much capital should they bring to enter your concept. You know what warning signs to look for. You know when to correct them, and when to find another one to replace them, and so on. But that comes with experience. And I mean, depending on the type of business you run, if it's like a business consultant business where you have a concept, it's one thing. And it might be like you sell the products, which could be like a platform for making what do I know, something easier, and solve a problem in a specific area for a specific branch. That could be like a way to create a business which actually requires less investment and less capital. And for my own part, I was there years ago with a concept in market analysis, market research. Together with my brother, we created a concept. And my brother, he thought that, okay, now we want to expand this brilliant concept to the rest of the world, and he started looking for franchise takers in other countries, and actually managed to build relationships with the people in France, in Germany, in Sweden, in Finland, in Norway, Portugal, Spain, Italy,
Wow.
and even Russia. It worked the way that we met twice a year with the group somewhere in Europe, and exchange good ideas and tips and tricks and so on. But what actually happened was that going from a franchise concept, where the idea was to like build a professional franchise based on this concept, we found that it requires a lot from the franchise giver, not only in order to like one at one time document and so on, as we spoke before, but also in order to develop and to nurse the franchise taker in all aspects of running a business. If it's like they might have like a small company with something in business consulting or human resources or whatever, and they say, okay, we like to be more successful, and we can see that there are some possibilities with this strong concept, so we enter this group and become part of it, and they pay a fee to do so. But what if they're not good at selling? What if they're like, I mean, there's so many things that can go wrong. So we changed it after running it for some years into an association instead, like a group where we meet and exchange ideas, but we run separate companies. Because especially my brother, he was not so keen on the constant pressure to deliver the next level, the next level, the next level that was expected, and then all this, dealing with issues on selling and customer expectations and requirements, and the whole delivery process also is like a chapter. So I mean, it might look quite easy to copy a business, but in reality, unfortunately, it's usually not that easy.
I agree with you because it is a complex concept. I don't believe that it's easy. And as you said, it has a lot of challenges on the way. And you said telling this that the risk is in the first part of making the franchise. Now, when you set up the first franchisor, because after that it is like something that makes go away from itself. It doesn't require such attention.
Right.
This is a good point. I didn't know where is the risk of the part. I believe that it's in all the process, not at the beginning.
I would say a lot of things can be avoided if you really look carefully into the business in the beginning, where it's still possible to change and where still possible to modify and to learn and change. Without big consequences, because when you first enter in legal agreements with people, well, you're like sort of caught in the original idea, and it means it's more difficult to suddenly change direction.
Are there specific industry or type of businesses where franchising has been particularly successful? Do you have some examples in which industry it is better to make a franchise?
Well, we spoke about food and beverage, coffee shops, fast food, etc. Restaurants are the same. But also things like retail and convenience is using a franchise model. In Denmark and Norway, we have a retail chain and supermarket chain called Rema 1000, and it's Norwegian, and they are extremely successful, and they're actually based on a concept with a very strong owner, and a very successful logistic system. And very data-based on customer behavior and so on, and they have gained a position in the market by making the each supermarket the manager of the supermarket owns a share in the supermarket, so he has like a personal risk, personal pride, but at the same time he makes a good salary, and creates, because he owns partly the supermarket he manages, he it's a personal thing for him, and that was their formula. There are other a supermarket chains, of course, who does it a completely different way, but for them this worked. So well, things like education consulting can also be franchised, of course, if concepts are strong enough and the need is there in the market. Yes, so healthcare, wellness, fitness, other things that could like be built around a brand. You have this Pure Gym that is, I don't know if you know it in your country, but
No.
it's like it's a here in our in Denmark and elsewhere, it's very huge fitness centers, and they have bought and bought and bought fitness centers, but that could as well have been And many of these have been in some kind of a franchise structure previously. So, I mean, there's it all comes down to is the business profitable? Is it attractive? And is it attractive for customers and for employees to work with this? Is it meaningful? Is it is there a need for it in the long run? Because the market economy will work in a way that if your idea, it might 10 years ago it might have been exactly the right thing, but if you're not developing on your concept and your business today, it might be redundant. I mean, meaning that it was okay some years ago, but today it's not relevant because the competition or the customer behavior or the economy in general or some legal things have changed the place. So there's a constant need to develop and to be ahead of your competitors in order to survive. And that can be a good thing for a franchise company, and it can be a bad thing because somehow it's a super tanker that if you all run with the same name and the same concept and the same teachings, well, it's and there's suddenly a change in customer behavior. It's important to have it like a part of the business to constantly try to see ahead what will come next, what will be the next thing we should do. In supermarkets, for instance, you see it with self-service stations that people I mean, they don't need to speak to a person. They can just help themselves pay and so on. So some sort of development. So when is the right time to actually implement a concept like that in a market, in a country? And then comes the whole issue of like developing on, let's say you have some educational franchise and things happen in that area too. So you need to also stay ahead of things and find the best people to actually work with you. It all comes down to people, in my experience. If you can have the best idea in the world, but if your team is not the right one, just forget it.
Thank you, Johnny,
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome.
for sharing your expertise. You give us some insights and to have a roadmap for understanding this franchising, how to consider it, how to start, how to manage the challenges. Thank you very much for your input.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome.
To our listeners, if you are thinking about scaling your business, franchising may be a smart growth strategy, but it is essential to do it right. If you enjoyed today's discussion, subscribe to our channel for more expert insights. And if you have any questions or want to share your experience, leave a comment below. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.